This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. You're the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us today. And I will just touch on this very briefly. A lot of people are or have been reacting and throwing a fit to the what happened in the first day of the Olympics when they had the opening ceremonies and they had that group that put on what looked like to be a mockery of the Lord's Supper. And I have to admit that when I saw that, I thought, and? Because to me, this is just a sign of the intense spiritual battle that we're involved in, and we are in the war of the ages right now, and we have people who post pentagrams on our Facebook page because what we do is a frontline ministry exposing issues that people are in bondage to, that the enemy has ground in the church and elsewhere, and so we come in close contact often with the intense spiritual battle. And I think a lot of people do not realize or haven't had their eyes open yet that we're in dark times right now. This is quote unquote the new normal. And this isn't even normal. This is just dark and wicked and evil. So we need to be preparing each other that, hey, this is where we are. And this is a battle. And this is not going to be easy. And we have to stay on our knees and prayer and exposing the things and the sins in the church that people are going through and keeping our eyes on Jesus and keep focusing on walking with him. So before I introduce my guests, we have an opportunity within the United Kingdom. And I know that we have listeners in the UK who pick up the show from Spotify or Apple Podcast. And the UK is the second largest consumer of pornography in the world. We've been going there since 2019. I've spoken to some churches there, had a radio interview there or two, and also we've attended the CRE trade show, which we're scheduled to go there again October 9th to 10th. And as we've been there, we've heard people say a lot, there are no ministries, Christian ministries like Blazing Grace in the UK. And we also hear a lot that pastors will not touch the topic of sex or pornography from the pulpits there, for the most part, mainly because of a cultural thing. So there's an enormous need to deal with this issue in the UK. And we've got an opportunity in front of us where we can partner up with an organization who's done research, and they said the best way to help people there would be to create a 6-part video series, which I would shoot there with another British person to give it a British down-home feel over there. And then they will distribute it and get the word out to the more than 70,000 churches in the United Kingdom. So this project's going to be up over $10,000, so I'm asking if you would consider funding this and helping this, and especially in prayer, because we just talked about spiritual warfare, and that's certainly going to be a part of this. So consider supporting us in this work and this opportunity we have. So again, we're scheduled to be there in October. It's what I'm calling the UK Video Project, and you can donate by going online at blazinggrace.org to the Donate Us page. So this week and next week, I will be talking to Shannon Kay. She was born and raised in Washington State. She married her high school sweetheart while they were still teenagers. And what began as an admission by her then-fiancé when he said, "I struggle with porn," became a full-fledged sex addiction that impacted their entire 30 years of marriage, their children, their extended family, and friendships. In the end, her husband's sex addiction would end their marriage. So, Shannon, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So thank you for joining us, and let's kick this off and get into your story.
All right. I grew up in a Christian family, although my parents were all human, so they had their own struggles. But when I met my husband, he was a very nice boy. He was different than the other boys. He's quiet. And we were friends for a couple years, and I never once detected anything as far as an addiction would go. We decided to get married. We went to premarital counseling. And a couple weeks before we were going to get married, he said to the pastor, "I struggle with porn." Very simple words. And I was naive, and I didn't know what that meant. But the pastor kind of gave off this, "Oh, that's normal." And he turned to me and he asked me, "Do you want to have sex with him?" And of course, yeah, I love this guy. Of course, I'm looking forward to that. And he's like, "Okay, then that will be solved in marriage. You'll get married and you'll start having sex together and this won't be an issue anymore." And he even went into detail, like what to wear and what not to wear, to tell him I was ready or whatever. It was kind of funny looking back on it. But I was given this message that I would somehow solve his needs. And really, probably, I mean, that is part of God's biblical design. He did design marriage, and he did design it to be beautiful, even in that sexual act of like an act of worship. So I don't disagree with how it's meant to be. But anyway, I was fine. I was like, okay, I didn't feel especially like scared or worried to get married. And my husband and I did talk, I mean, before we got married, and he agreed like that not okay to be looking at porn, and he agreed with the biblical principle that whatever you look at, I mean, you take in with your eyes and your heart, and then you're actually, you know, participating in sin. So he knew that biblical concept, and so he agreed with me that we would work together as friends in our marriage to help each other out. And I mean, that would be the same for me if I struggled with anything. So I think we were looking at it healthy, or we seemed to be addressing it healthy. But when we got married, I sensed that things began to shift, and there almost immediately it seemed like there became this distance. Like before marriage, we were such good friends and had a great time. And I don't know, I couldn't figure out what was going on. But within the first couple months of marriage, I got really bad kidney stones. And my husband wouldn't get up and take me to the hospital. I had to call my mom to come into the city and pick me up and take me to the hospital. And I was just like a not caring type of thing. I felt like not loving. After a couple, another 4 months or so, he decided to join the military, or we brought up that topic, and I said, "Well, you can look into it, but please, we're married, so let's make that decision together." And he ended up signing his name, committing to being in the military without having that discussion with me, and I was heartbroken. I felt so disregarded, because that wasn't our, it wasn't just his life, that was our life. I had committed myself to him, and I felt so crushed by that. Again, these are just small things, or may seem small, but these are things that are making me feel disregarded right off the bat in marriage.
So I'm curious, what do you think was going on? I mean, when he was so cold that he wouldn't take you to the hospital, that's a pretty significant switch.
Yeah. Well, I think that I think he's probably diving into his sin. I didn't know this at the time. I know retrospectively now because he's gone through some confession things, but he, right away in marriage, he was starting to go to strip clubs and do these things that I didn't know about. And mm-hmm. it created this break, probably.
Yeah.
I wish I understood everything really well, but I don't understand like all that goes on in the, mm-hmm. in the mind and heart. And, but, there seems to be a real break between the fantasy of what is presented by pornography and what reality is. Like, the reality of love is having tenderness and care towards each other and being there for each other. But the fantasy of porn is that there's just a woman there to serve you and give you what you want. And that's not how real life works.
Yep, yep.
Within that first year of marriage, also the day that I conceived our daughter, he said another woman's name. And I was absolutely crushed and kind of curled up in a fetal position and was rocking and crying. And it caused me to have this real break in relationship with my daughter because he had said this other woman's name, and I almost felt like this is this woman's daughter, not mine, because he wasn't with me. And that created some hardship for me for a long time.
And that was right in the middle of the sex act?
Yeah, when he was climaxing, yeah. Mm. He said some other woman's name. So that created some real mental hardship for me long term. but that wasn't my daughter's issue. That wasn't her problem. At this time, we've joined the military and we've made our first move, and all the lying and the hiding and began. And at some point I caught him and he admitted that he had been stealing things from the store. But this is where the cycle began of him lying about things until he was caught. And that, for me, being newly married, I'm just trying to figure out the newly married thing, but also trying to figure out, well, how do I be his lover? How do I be his friend? Because there's all this stuff emotionally that I'm dealing with as a woman. Like, I'm not good enough. I'm not beautiful enough. How am I not enough for him? And at this point, I'm not getting any counseling, so I don't know better. But all of that is playing on me, so I'm crushed inside of myself that somehow, and I would have some people tell me, like in the church, if I shared with a few lady friends, they're like, well, make sure you have your house clean when you get home. Make sure you have dinner prepared. Make sure the kids are all bathed and ready for bed. Make sure, like, telling me all these practical things. And I would be told by leadership of women in the church, make sure you're not sinning. Which at the time I'm like so frustrated because I'm excited to be married. Like, I'm a newlywed. I'm into this. I'm just so excited. And I have all these ideas about what marriage is supposed to be. So I'm like, make sure I'm not sinning. Well, no, he's my man. Like, what do you mean, make sure I'm not sinning? And make sure you aren't withholding. And I'm like, well, yeah, no, I want to be doing this. Like, I'm excited about this. Well, I'm not withholding. And make sure you're making him happy and pray for him. So I got the power of a praying wife, and I'm praying for my husband. And I am doing these things. But what it comes down to is really not what I'm doing. It's really, it's not a marriage issue. It is an individual issue. It is his heart issue. And there really, I don't think it could actually be anything I could do as a wife. And if there was, I try them all.
So is this still early in your marriage at this point you're talking about?
Oh, yeah. This is still the very beginning. The very first church I was in, and the ladies and the female leadership that I'm reaching out to. And something that really stood out to me in this first 4 years is that one of our guy friends, we used to play games with these friends, and our kids would play together. But I didn't say that maybe that we had our first three kids like right away in our marriage. But anyway, this guy friend began like hugging me a lot. And first I told his wife, I was like, your husband's hugging me a lot. I mean, is that, and she's like, no, he just hugs everybody in the church. And I'm like, okay. But it still made me uncomfortable. And then I told my husband, I was like, it seems like this guy is hugging me a lot and like even like finding a way to be outside or in the same space as me when nobody else is around. Like, it's making me uncomfortable. Could you please watch out for me? And then there was this, they were helping us move, do our last final movement. So we're getting ready to move to our next duty station. But this guy and his kids come over to help us try to finish up a couple last things with our move. And my husband decides he's going to go get us all pizza. And I'm sitting here looking at him and I'm trying to like, hey, I've asked you, like, don't leave me alone with him. And he's adamant to do it. So what ends up happening, he ends up being gone like 2 hours to go get this pizza. It was a bit of a drive, but not that much of a drive. And turns out he had to get to the adult bookstore and get his fix. And in the meantime, he's left me unprotected with this friend who I've already alerted, hello, he seems to be inappropriate. And sure enough, this guy tries to kiss me. And I was strong enough and able to get away and nothing happened. But I was so disappointed. And I think I just woke up to realize his addiction is strong. If he will go and leave me unattended and vulnerable to this other person just to go get his fix, like, that's not okay. And then about this time, we also bought a computer for the first time. And this is later 90s, I think. Kind of later 90s, we get our first computer, and that just opened a whole new world as far as opportunity, as most people know. And then when we moved states, we couldn't get on-base housing, and we had to move off-base, and we couldn't afford that. And so we didn't qualify for any apartments. And so we were forced into a situation where we had to buy. And basically, we had to end up in, like, the worst part of the town. And when you enter the road on one side, it's an adult bookstore. And when you exit the other side of this road, it was a strip club. That did not stand out for me at the time because I'm just desperate to have a roof over our head. I wanted my kids to be taken care of. I wasn't on the lookout for this type of thing. I should have been, but it just didn't click with me. And so then for this time that we were at this duty station, things just got worse and worse for him because it's so easy for him to stop in one or the other to and from work and just get away with it, you know, time fudges or whatever. There was one time I loaded my babies into the car and went down and found him at the strip club. And I didn't even know what to do. But that did launch into a whole nother one of the cycles of I was caught and, you know, confessing some things and acting like I'm repentant. And during the time at this duty station, here I am trying to be the good wife, and I am looking at all these things that we can do to get help. A sex addiction group was in the northern part of the city. We plugged in with the pastors, and we started with our pastors. And yeah, I just think that pastors haven't been very educated up until this point of how to deal with it. And I do hope that more pastors will learn to confront this specific issue and to be firm and loving about it. It feels like a lot of times there's been this, yeah, this is normal, and almost dismissiveness or acceptance while continuing to tell the wife to be there and forgive and forgive and forgive. And
so what kind of things were they saying to you?
Forgive is one of them, but yeah, the same thing of make sure you're not sinning, make sure you're doing what you need to do, make sure you're in the Word, make sure, yeah, you're praying and being supportive. But I don't know. I think that that actually has been harmful. I think that it's really just created this lovely, safe place for, I almost said deviant men. I don't know if that's so kind to say it that way, but men who are living the life they want to live and still maintain that happy front with a happy family while living the secret life. It's got to be tougher than that. Men have to start standing up and holding each other accountable to a higher standard. That does not work.
So are you saying the pastors you met with were not confronting your husband? They were kind of looking at you?
Well, they were doing their duty to point to Scripture. They were doing their duty to say, this isn't okay, this is clearly wrong, this is biblically not acceptable, this isn't how you treat your wife, this isn't how you are a man of God. And my husband always agreed. He always was very good at fake repentance and yes, and knowing Scripture. In fact, one of the four pastors we went and saw, I was like, wow, you really do know your Scripture. That's great. Now you just need to start applying it. There's a difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge.
Oh, amen to that.
Yeah. So we actually went and saw a professional counselor also, but that didn't last very long. I think we maybe went to 3 or 4 sessions, and he finally looked at my husband and he just said, you're not ready. Come back when you're ready. And meaning he just called him out on not willing or wanting to actually change. So yeah. I remember going to a female counselor for marriage counseling at one point, and she would ask my husband, well, how does this work for your wife, or what blesses your wife this way? And he would have all the answers, and she's like, okay, are you doing that? And he's like, well, no. And she's like, why not? But that almost hurt more to hear that he knew the answers and he just wouldn't do them. Mm. it was painful.
So Shannon, we're down to the last minute here. So I want to tie this up. I want to give you, you've obviously, the stuff you went through with the church is what I would call spiritual abuse, and we'll pick that up next week. But for now, with 30 seconds, say anything you want.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm thankful that I have the Lord, and that I know the Lord, and I've known the Lord, and have been able to cling to Him. It's easier said than done. It's hard when you're going through the pain, but God is who He is, and what man does not change who God is.
That's good, and I appreciate your honesty and what must have been a very painful journey. And next week, we're going to continue this conversation with Shannon Kay. So encourage you to join us, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.